If you want to turn in your Bible to Isaiah 61, we're going to continue our prison break series this week. I want to talk about the prison of rejection. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you just for your splendor, Lord God, and your majesty. And I thank you, Jesus, that you came to set the prisoner free. I thank you, Lord, that you find our prison cells in our lives and you liberate us. Because that's your heart, that's your passion. That's where your glory is displayed, O God. That's where heaven touches earth, Lord. Where prisoners sing songs of freedom. And I ask, Father, that you would help this morning prisoners of rejection to understand and realize that Jesus has opened the door of every prison. And you're beckoning us out, you're calling us out, you're willing us out. And wherever we're at in the journey of coming out, Father, of our prisons, I ask for your strength and your encouragement this morning for your glory alone, Lord. Amen and amen. Before I begin, I want to say that, you know, with Jesus, that our lives should be in some way getting brighter. When you stay committed and submitted to the Lord, no matter what has been brought into your life, and many of us have many tragic things that have come into our life, or we have willingly went into prisons and closed the door behind ourselves, or we have allowed the prison governor, which the Bible describes him as the devil, if we've allowed him to bring us into certain captivities, when you become a Christian, the King of Glory comes to live in you. And as a result of the King of Glory coming into you, when you stay committed and submitted to Him, your personal life, your mental life, your emotional life, your spiritual life should be getting brighter and healthier, and a contentment should be coming into your life as a Christian. In Psalm 51, King David had failed God immensely. And Psalm 51 is his cry to come out of the prison of condemnation that he had felt. And we know one, the passage that I love in anyway is when he cries out to God and he says, Lord, create in me a new heart. Bring me out of this place of prison, being locked up, being restricted, and give me a clean heart. Another translation, he says, Lord, create for me a new day. The Message says it like this. The Message, paraphrase of the Scriptures, it says it like this. Lord, give me a Genesis week. Genesis meaning new beginning. Listen to what the Lord desires for us. When you look at the book of Genesis, and you look at what a Genesis week is, when you look at it was getting brighter and brighter. The things of God was getting bigger and better. Yeah, he started off with the moon and the stars, and he started off with seas and land. But as you see, the as Rob Bell says it, the poetry of Genesis 1, he brings it to a brighter and greater place. And the crescendo of it all is that he made man. And you know, someone says, why did he make man before woman? Well, it's simple, because God didn't want anyone to tell him what to do. Sorry, girls. But then the girls could say, you know, you make it better the second time round, don't you? Okay. Seemingly there's more guys here than men and women, so yeah, he just didn't want to be told what to do. Isn't that right, guys? Bring him out. But you see this, we say it like this. We say in our day, we go morning to night. We go, yeah, you know, like when we're doing that, and it's like from morning to night. In Genesis, it talks about it was evening. And then it was day. It was evening, and then it was morning. It was evening, and then it got brighter. Yet it got darker, but through the darkness it got brighter. And God's intention for each person is that he brings our life into his wonderful light, and our life gets brighter. It doesn't get darker, it gets brighter. Another translation says that though weeping may remain for a night, rejoicing comes in the morning. Because it gets brighter according to the pattern of God. Out of chaos, he brought light. Out into darkness, he brought light. He put the sun in the sky to separate darkness and light. And even in the nighttime, he put the moon in the sky so it would reflect the sun even still on earth. He wants to create for each one of us a brighter day. A greater day. a Genesis week, that our life was going from glory to glory. That's why Paul could say, even in a prison cell, he says, whether I have a lot, I have nothing, he says, I've learned the art of being content. Because the brighter day doesn't depend on what is around me. And I say, Lord, bring us to that place. Amen? So this morning, in the bringing of brighter days, he wants to look at the whole area of our lives. You know, someone had commented earlier on that they listened on the podcast, the sermon. They weren't able to make it last week, and they listened this week. And he says, you know what, Noel, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the week before that, and I appreciate that. But I also want to tell you, as a man, as a pastor, I know that these are real-life issues that we're speaking on, that they're not just things of the spiritual dimension. But when you talk about addiction, it lands somewhere in all of our lives in one way or another. And I would say that this morning when I speak on rejection, that I no way want to be facetious in any way, because I know this is real stuff in people's real lives. But God has come to deal with real people, with real problems, with real prisons, because he is the God that has the real answer. He's the only one that has the answer. Believe me, the government hasn't got the answer to the prisons that people have found themselves in. Psychology and psychiatry, they may help, but they haven't got the answer to the man's heart. But God has. And he wants to deliver us and bring us out of prisons, especially of rejection. Pretty much all of us have experienced rejection at one time or other in our lives. It may have been something minor, or it may have been something so devastating that it has affected our whole lives, even up to today. And it's vital. I want to tell you why most people backslide. I tell you, there's people even here who doesn't even know what backsliding means. But it means when you move away from the things of God. When you stop talking to God and you just do your own thing and you find yourself on a backward slope. But I believe this, and I implore you to think of this. The one thing that keeps people from fulfilling the purpose of God in their life, it's not sin. I tell you what it is, it's not dealing with things in our lives. It's the things that will draw us back. It's the things that will not let us move forward. It's the things that we're not willing to deal with, because we think there's more pain in dealing with it, but there's more pain in staying in the prison, believe me. You know, it feels like, I was talking to someone during the week, and when they were going to break through the sound barrier, you know, when the planes were coming up to that time, wherever miles per hour it was, when they were coming up to that place, the planes would look at breaking up because they were going so fast. And they would say, it's breaking up, and the planes would take a U-turn and go back. And one man took the risk of all the braking, of all of the shaking that was going on, and he hit the point where it was like, we're breaking up, this is going to kill us, this is going to kill us. But he stayed with it, and he went through the sound barrier. And when he went through the sound barrier, on the other side, it was smooth sailing. And it's like when God is dealing with stuff in our life. Yet it hurts. Yet it's like it feels I'm breaking up. I can't take anymore. But believe me, trust him. Put your hope in him, because he won't bring you to the place where you're going to break up. He wants to get you to the place where you get to the other side. And it's nearly like madness. And then when you go through the other side, it's like boom. You're sailing somewhere in the Holy Spirit. You're sailing somewhere in freedom. Stick at it. And I want to just preface everything by saying that it is real and it does feel shaky. But believe me, deal with it in God. Address it in God. Because guys, we're all adults and just young adults. And we're going to bring kids into this world. And it's not about generational curses. It's about generational choices. Do I choose to deal with this that is in my generations? Do I choose to deal and believe that the blood of Jesus cuts off my past and cuts off the chains, and I'm going to make choices now that they don't come into my family line? No matter what's been in our family line, that it's about choices. And I encourage you, before God, make the choice. God, I'm open to you. I want you to take this shirt that Manuel sang about, this mouth, these hands. I want them to be things, instruments that can be used for you, but rather than being locked down in prison cells. And here's some examples of some areas that we could have found rejection. You weren't chosen for the football team. You weren't chosen for the sports team. You feel that pinch of rejection. You were teased during school years. Maybe you publicly humiliated. You were not given a job that you applied for, or you were laid off from a job for no good reason. The twangs and the pangs of the pains of rejection set in. Deeper ones, and these can be deep, and there's other ones that go deep in the sense of knowing that you were an unwanted child, and someone letting you know that. I can't see the reason for letting you even know that. Growing up without feeling love from one or both of your parents. Rejection, growing up in a home where maybe your parents separated. They say 80% of kids believe separation in homes is down to them. You feel rejected by the parent that would leave or walk out. Being the object of abuse, whatever fashion that may be in, brings that rejective arrow into our hearts. What about this one? Having a brother or sister that is favored above you. That you're measured off the rest of your family. You're measured off their success. And you feel rejected because you're not accepted for who you are and what you have to bring to the table. Living up to the expectation of parents or loved ones without necessarily feeling accepted for who you are. I don't want to recreate any rejection, by the way. That's my mother. Go home and you have a word for your ma or something. Now, that's not my point. But these are some of the things that I've read and studied up on in these last weeks. Feeling the pain of a divorce or a separation or rejection in a relationship, a cheating boyfriend, a cheating girlfriend, a husband that says you're not as good as this other person, therefore I'm leaving you. Nasty words that have been said of you or to you bring such experiences of and such wounds in our lives. The proverb says a man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? And rejection brings such crushing of a soul, of a heart, of a mind, of emotions, that it plays itself out in all types of ways. Rejection in one line can be defined as a sense of being unwanted. The prison of rejection will cause people to believe that they're not worthy to be loved. People begin to reject others and reject themselves and even come before God as a Christian in an insecure way, thinking if I get it wrong, God is going to reject me. It plays itself out in being wanting to be part of the group, but always feeling excluded. Somehow, always on the outside, even in a crowd, you don't feel wanted. It plays itself out in all types of situations and circumstances that you may find yourself in. Rejection is probably the root cause of many other problems in our lives. Rejection and the root of rejection can cause us to be harmful to ourselves and to others. Rejection is not always, I think somehow it always plays itself out visibly, but it's not always visible. It can be an inner attitude, but it always bears negative fruits. I'm going to get to the good bits in a minute, believe me. The primary result of rejection is the inability to receive love and to communicate love. A person who has never experienced being loved finds it incredibly hard, not impossible, but incredibly hard to receive love or to communicate love. And here's some of the results that can play itself out in. Listen to these ones. Giving up. I'm just giving up because if I keep on going on and I be successful, sure, someone's going to reject me somewhere along the line. So some of the way it plays out in our lives, we give up, we fall into loneliness or self-pity or depression or despair. And even people have committed suicide as a result of these feelings. Another way it plays itself out, we build walls. We put up a defense, so I don't want anyone near me. And it usually plays itself out like this way, this, you get smacked, you smack someone before they get a chance to smack you. I'm going to say something to you, do something to you, look at you a certain way, so that I reject you before you ever have a chance of ever rejecting me. And we build a wall. We build this facade of superficial happiness. That's the opposite of pushing everyone away. It's like, I'm happy. Tell your face that, honey. Tell your talk that, honey. Because believe me, this will find its way out. Rejection plays itself out in sabotaging achievements or relationships before they ever get to a chance where you will be seen as a failure and you'll be rejected. I've had people in my life, some of the most incredibly gifted people, and somehow they always find a way of sabotaging their success. See, I think that's what Nelson Mandela was talking about on his when he's getting set in as president of South Africa. He says, we're afraid of our success. We're afraid of our brilliance. Rejection will always cause you to be afraid of succeeding because somewhere along the line, if I keep going on this way, I will be rejected somewhere. So I'm not even going to try. So I'm going to break it down, sabotage you, do something so that someone else will reject me. When we were in Belarus last year, little Vladdy, the first day, the only day that we were there, like I had him sitting on my lap, and little guy from the orphanage, he kept slapping me or pinching me. And I was too wired to play into the game, but what he was doing was, I'm going to hurt you before you get a chance to hurt me. He wanted me to throw him away. He'd done the same to Stephen. And Stephen broke him down in the headlock. Another way it plays itself out is doing anything, even though you know it's wrong, to be accepted by other people. Just doing that and going against your own grain, just to be one of the gang, just to be one of the people. Just to prove people wrong when someone says something over your life, a parent, a school teacher, a boss, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, I'm going to prove that person wrong. In the book, which I can't remember the name of it, by John Eldridge, anyone takers on it? Wild at Heart, good book. In the book Wild at Heart, John Eldridge tells this story of this man that had a couple of boys as kids. And when they were growing up, they used to go out and play American football, except one of the boys. And one of the boys used to stay in and play piano. And you get the other young men coming in after playing American football, feeling all macho and all of that stuff. And he'd come in and they used to see him playing his piano. And he used to say, you're a sissy. You're not a real man because real men be out playing American football. And I got into this, the rejection of him not being a man, not being accepted unless he'd done what the rest were doing to prove that they were men. And what he was doing was not what they thought men should do. And it turns out when this young man grew up and this root of rejection took place, of trying to live up to the expectations of others, to be accepted at parties, he used to take a glass that he had a drink in and he'd eat the glass. He said blood would be pouring from his mouth. But what he was trying to prove to himself and even to his dad, who was not at the party, I am a man. What you rejected is you're saying I wasn't a man, but I am a man. Look how strong I am. Look how big I am. Look how hard I am. And he'd eat glass even to let blood come out of his mouth to prove the rejection was wrong. And then this rejection gets turned inward and we start to believe they must be right. And therefore, we start to reject ourselves. We start to use all of these things and we turn it inward. We isolate ourselves because who wants to be with someone who's a loser? Who wants to be with someone that's a failure? Who wants to be with someone that everyone else has rejected? Or the opposite of that is, the opposite of isolation, we throw ourselves at anything that shows any ounce of our imitation of love towards us. And I would say if you have any of these characteristics, please just go before God this week and do what I was told to do 19 years ago. Get down on your knees and say, God, I break this in that name that's above every name, Jesus. And I will walk through the process of being healed of this. Some of the characteristics of a person experiencing rejection takes these things to extremes. A critical spirit, a difficulty in giving and receiving love, feeling inferior to everyone else, perfectionism, anger and bitterness, oversensitivity. You have a tendency to extremely drive people away. Make a desperate attempt to find love, and you can never take no for an answer. The Lord wants to so ground you and me. He wants to ground us so much. He wants to bring the brighter day, the Genesis week, into our lives. He wants to bring the brightness that might be dark in the areas of rejection now. That if you stay with Him, He will bring the brighter day into our lives. How do we break rejection off of our lives? The good news is that God can heal you and me of wounds of rejection. He specializes in healing the hearts of people who have been given over to rejection, who have experienced rejection. Isaiah 63, where you land. I wanted just to bring this out. I brought it out in the Gospels a couple of weeks ago, over the last couple of weeks, but I want to show you where Jesus read from. He gets the scroll on that day and he stands up and he reads it opened in Isaiah 61, and he says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted." If you've been afflicted in any way, there is good news this morning. He says, "He has sent me to heal up, bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, and to proclaim that this is the year of the Lord's favor." Amen. The good news is there is freedom. And the freedom that we have is this. Now, when Jesus was on the cross, He took all of our rejection upon Himself. He took sin and shame and guilt and sorrow and affliction upon Himself, but He also took rejection upon Himself. He took your rejection and my rejection upon Himself. His sacrifice was an all-inclusive provision of God that covers every need, every pain, every wound that is in your life and in my life. Jesus took our guilt. He experienced rejection, so that in Him, we might experience acceptance. See, God never rejected Adam. It was Adam that rejected God. And God's intention was to send the second Adam, as Romans calls Jesus, to come down, and those who believe in Him can find the acceptance of God again. Isaiah says in Isaiah 53 that He took a rejection. It says in Matthew that the people rejected Jesus on the cross. He rejected not only rejection, he experienced rejection not just from people, which He did, but even from His Father in heaven. Jesus drained the cup of rejection to its bitter dregs so that you and I could go free from this area of our lives. Listen to what Isaiah 53 talks about regarding Jesus. I'm reading it from the Message again. "He was looked down on and passed over. He was a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at Him and people turned away." Now that's rejection. "He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows, familiar with sufferings. We looked down on Him and we thought He was scum. But the fact is, it was our pain He carried. It was our disfigurements. All the wrongs that was we done and that was done to us was upon Him. We thought He must have bringing it on Himself. That's God's punishment on Him for His own failures. But it wasn't. It was our sins that did that to Him, that ripped and tore and crushed Him. Our sins. He took our punishment so that we might be made whole. Through His bruises, we get healed. We are all like sheep. We've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God had piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on Him. And everything that was done wrong to us, rejection, pain, guilt, was placed upon Him. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush Him with pain. The plan was that He would give Himself as an offering so that He'd see His life come from it, and that He would see God's plan deeply prosper through Him. He's on the cross. And not only had He experienced the rejection of His people, He was on the cross and the sins of the world, rejection placed upon Him. And it was bad enough being rejected from his people, but at that time, God the Father turned away from him. And he cries out, Father, where have you gone? Father, why have you rejected me? He took the rejection so that we may be accepted by God. And the first part of God with our rejection is to go to the cross, because that's where it was took for us. And Jesus says, just like our sin, you don't have to carry it. You don't have to carry your sin. You don't have to pay the price for it. And neither do you have to pay the price for your rejection. We need to know how to receive God's love and acceptance, which washes out all rejection. Show of hands. Do you believe that I'm more accepted to God than you? If you believe that, will you put up your hand? Good. Do you believe that God accepts Billy Graham more than you? Anybody? Do you believe that God accepts the Apostle Paul? Or had accepted Apostle Paul more than any of us? Do you believe that God the Father accepts Jesus better than any of us? Here's the reality of Scriptures. God accepts you and me the way he accepts his own son, Jesus. He accepts us the way he accepts Jesus. There's no barriers anymore because Jesus broke them all down. That in our time of need, we can come to God in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say, get away. He doesn't say, I didn't think you were going to commit that sin. I didn't think you were going to fail that way. He doesn't say, get away, I reject you. He's already done the rejection. He already let his son know what it was like to be out without his presence. So when we come before him, he doesn't say, get away, I don't want you, you're no good, you always fail, look at the head on you, you don't even wake up in the morning and give me praise. He doesn't do any of that stuff because he's already laid that on his son. So that we can come before him without any sense of being rejected by him. The people in the Old Testament knew what it was like to be rejected by God. But in the New Testament, he lives in us. He makes his dwelling place within us. So receive and accept that God loves you. When Jesus died on the cross, an amazing thing happened. In the temple, the curtain ripped from bottom to top. Or top to bottom. It's top to bottom. The curtain was the curtain of separation. The curtain was the curtain of that if you weren't right, if you weren't cleansed, if you weren't there, if you didn't sacrifice, that no filthy sinner could go in there. And when the curtain was ripped, Jesus was saying, now all can come. All can come. The priest would stand at the altar. The priest would stand at the laver. The priest would stand at the sacrifice place. The priest would stand at the temple, or the outer courts, the inner courts, the holy of holy courts. They would stand there. They would test people. They would see, had you brought your sacrifice? But Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, no more rejection. All is accepted. All is accepted. Well, no matter what we've done, what you've done, what you bring to the table, he took it on himself already on the cross. Receive God's love. Receive his acceptance. I was reading in Ephesians this week and I prayed over every chair in this place. Where you're sitting, I've laid my hands and prayed for you this week. In Ephesians it says about God, he says, he chose us. Before the foundations of the earth, he chose you. He chose you. He's seen where you would be, in what century, in what city, what house, what church, what Christian you bumped into, what revelation. He's seen you already and he chose you. He chose us. He didn't go around looking for people that were perfect, a perfect baby with a perfect face. He chose us with all our disfigurements, all our rejection. He accepts you in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Amen. I hear that, baby. So stop seeking acceptance somehow outside of him. Stop trying to find your significance in working for the approval of other people. Stop trying to find your worth in measuring up to someone else's standard. Stop trying to find your contentment in just people's approval. God has provided for us a sense of love, acceptance, and significance apart from our ability to perform. Accept His love for you. Accept that He chose you before the foundation of the world. Accept that He will never reject you. Accept that when you come before Him, you know why Paul, or the Hebrew writer, said, come before Him in time of need? Do you know when our biggest need is? It's when we've sinned, isn't it? It's when, like, you know, if you have a need for something, you can go before God. You know, when we fail Him, and we feel He's going to reject us, that's when that Hebrew scripture comes into play. In your time of need, come before the throne of grace, where you won't find rejection, but you'll find Him saying, I love you. I care for you. I'm rushing through this. God accepts you. He loves you. You're beautiful to Him. You're wonderful in His eyes. He knows who you are, what you are. He knows what's been brought into your life. He knows what you've brought into your life. He knows your prison, and He loves you. And He cares for you. And He accepts you. So therefore, we have to accept ourselves. We have to learn how to accept ourselves, and this is never easy. But learn to accept, this is who I am, this is what I am. He accepts me, I accept me. You are made in God's image and likeness. You are His child. He doesn't make junk. You're His workmanship. You're His masterpiece. You are the brighter day of the Genesis week. You are the brightest moment of the Genesis week. He made us in His image, fashioned us, likened us to be like Him. And His goal now is to change us into the image of His Son Jesus. Base your view on what God says about you. Base who you are, not on what has been done to you or not, but on how God sees you and what He says about you. Declare it in the daytime. I am loved unconditionally. I am forgiven completely. I am accepted totally. And I am complete in Christ Jesus. Imagine this being your prayer when we get up in the morning. Affirm who you already are in Christ. I am loved unconditionally. I am forgiven completely. I am accepted totally. And I am complete in Christ Jesus. This will bring healthy emotional life. Healthy thinking life. This will bring a place where we will know we belong. We have worth. And we are competent individuals. Through the death of Calvary, God demonstrated how much He loves us and has provided these three needs: significance, contentment, and acceptance. Learn what the scriptures say about us. See, this is not a lazy man's walk. This is not a walk that, okay, I'll hear something good on a Sunday or Thursday or Tuesday or in the home group or wherever. Search the scriptures. Find out who you are in Christ. Find out what your birthrights are, what He is brought into your life. Find out that you're a child of God. Find out that you're seated in heavenly places. Find out that you have an inheritance. Find out that you're a conqueror. Find out that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Find out that you have the mind of Christ. Be determined. Here's another way of overcoming rejection. Be determined to fulfill. Focus on the purpose that God has for you. If the worship team can come back. A way of overcoming rejection is holding a stance of forgiveness in your life. I know there's a bit of movement. We'll wait. Just stay focused with me for one more minute. Because here's the reality. Hurting people hurt people. And God wants to heal us from the prison of rejection so that we can be a blessing and a channel of God's grace and love and acceptance to people. I believe He wants to do a work in our lives. I believe He's rattled the chains of our prisons. Whatever it is, the rejection of a man, rejection of a woman, rejection of a parent, they're at the cross. At the cross, All of our rejection was taken. We need to receive His love for us. And that washes out the rejection. We need to learn how to accept ourselves by knowing that we're totally forgiven, accepted, loved. And if we just close our eyes for a moment, the film that we seen earlier on, the little boy, if anyone never seen the movie The Blood Diamonds, it's one of my favourite anyway. But the little boy got taken off by other soldiers, and he became one of these boy soldiers, and they had him shoot a man. And he totally broke them down and told them that their parents rejected them, that their family didn't want them anymore. And just broke them down till he became this killing machine, the little boy. And in that scene, they were running off and somehow the gun was on the ground. The little boy picked up the gun. And you seen him, he was going to kill Leonardo. And then he turns it on his son, says, his dad said, "Son, you are my son. I don't care what they told you, you're my son. We're waiting for you back home." And you know, rejection is an awful way of saying, "Don't listen. Can it be true? Isolate myself again. Don't be hurt. Don't open myself up to be hurt again." There's a movie out about the horse whisperer where the man was brought to the broken horses, and he whispered in their ears. I was thinking of this while I was away. Can I tell you, God is the man whisperer. And somehow He's able to whisper into the ears of broken people. Love, acceptance, peace, contentment, healing. And just like in this clip earlier on, the man, Solomon, grabs his son. He says, "You're my son. And I love you." If we tune our ears in this morning, maybe God would say that to each one of us. "I am your father, and I love you, and I accept you, and I forgive you, and I'm going to pour out my love into your heart so you may be healed. In the name of Jesus." I want to pray this prayer. If you're ready, because I believe some of us are ready to come out of these prisons, and some is on the journey. And it's okay, wherever you are, just don't give up. So if you want to stand with me and you feel you want to repeat this prayer after me, you can go ahead. Let's stand. Without any coercion, any manipulation whatsoever, this is if you know that God is just speaking to you. "I'm not staying in this prison." You can say this: "Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to die for me, for my sin and my wounds of rejection. I break this self-rejection off of my life in the name of Jesus. I thank you for accepting me just as you accept your son, Jesus. May your amazing love be the foundation of my life. I choose to accept myself and those around me. I choose to forgive those who have hurted and wounded me. I let go of bitterness, resentment, and hatred. Help me to love others just as you have loved me. Thank you for setting me free from rejection. Right now, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Father, I ask that the light of Christ would fill every cell. And on the way out, Lord, they would hear the door slamming behind them, never to enter that place again. And Father, the healing and the journey out, Father God, I pray they would know you holding their hands, saying, "This is my daughter whom I love. This is my son whom I love. This is my son who I accept. This is my daughter whom I accept." Father, I bless you.